All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quads, you've muted yourself. I can't unmute you.
There it is. It's funny. I was giving you a shout out right to start the show too. I was saying that we're going to need Grady to be on his phone the whole time. A good thing he wasn't on his phone to start the show because he noticed that I was muted. Grady, what was the breaking news we had yesterday? Because Harmon wasn't here. What was the breaking news? It was something small, but I remember
deadline week. Yeah, Ruff, Travis Green.
Travis Green in as head coach for the New Jersey Devils. But we're thinking there might be some more bigger moves for the Vancouver Canucks this week. Harmon Dial joins me. My name is Dave Quadrelli. This is Canucks Conversation. As I said, our producer is Grady Sass. Canucks Conversation is brought to you by the 2023 Toyota BZ4X. The BZ4X is Toyota's brand new all-electric SUV that is designed to go the distance for you and your family. The BZ4X is packed with Toyota's coolest tech, but it still has that trusty SUV feel you know and love. And even though it's electric, it's capable of effortlessly conquering any terrain. Whether it's rain, snow, mud, or your friend's questionable post-game recaps, the BZ4X will get you through it all. Harmon, live from, are you in LA? Are you in Anaheim? Where are you right now? LA. Yeah, LA, okay.
Just across from crypto.com arena. So I heard it's snowing. I've been enjoying the sun out here in Cali. I had some friends sending me videos of the snow. Is there actually still snow there?
So it snowed really bad on Sunday evening. It snowed really, really badly. But then you woke up and it was all gone. Like it was gone immediately. So it was one of those overnight terrifying ones, but then by the morning it was all gone, it seemed. So it was not, I'm sure it was better in California, but it wasn't too bad here. Now I had to ask myself this, Harm, because you were in Anaheim, obviously, when the Canucks played on Sunday, and PJ and I broke that down yesterday. So you don't have to break down that game. Don't worry. I already talked about Casey DeSmith a lot. You don't need to hear that today, but you couldn't do the show on Monday. I'm trying to figure, isn't it like a 45-minute drive to LA? Like, what was the holdup there? It wasn't like you flew.
Well, they also had to practice 1 o'clock.
Oh, that's right. That's why. Okay.
I had to talk to Zadorov afterwards. So there would have been no way for me to. And plus, their practice facility is like a 30-minute drive from my hotel itself. So I drove straight from Anaheim to the practice facility, then the 1 o'clock practice. And then I wrapped up at the rink around like 1:45. There's no way I would have been able to make it.
Speaking of schedules and guys who are going to need to make some drives Elias Lindholm. Let's pull up this tweet, Grady. This was right before the show went to air. We get this tweet from Chris Johnson. With the Canucks believed to be among those pursuing Jake Guentzel, folks, we talked about him yesterday. Word is they've had discussions about potentially flipping Elias Lindholm to the Bruins as part of the machinations to make it happen. Nothing concrete in place at this time. Still lots of moving parts. Harm, I'm going to be honest with you. Yesterday said on this show that I could imagine the Canucks going out and getting Sidney Crosby, because this management regime just always keeps you on your toes and you should be ready for anything. So PJ asked, could you imagine if Sidney Crosby was in Vancouver? And I said, yeah, I actually can't imagine it. Like, I can't imagine it. I did not imagine the Canucks flipping Elias Lindholm. I really didn't. I really didn't expect to see this. And with 3 days to go till the deadline on Friday, here we are. Elias Lindholm, potentially, of course, nothing's happened yet, to the Boston Bruins.
Yeah, I'm in wait and see mode. Honestly, this is pretty shocking. One thing I will say is Rutherford has a history where he doesn't get tied to his own moves. Some managers, when they pay a lot for a player, they feel the need to then make themselves look good. But Rutherford will quickly admit if he thinks he's made a mistake and rectify it. I mean, I think back to, for example, David Perron in January 2015, he was a marquee midseason acquisition for the Penguins. A year later, they flipped him for Carl Hagelin, who obviously ended up playing a huge part in the Stanley Cups over there. Of course, the difference there is they gave Perron a full year, whereas here we're talking about just a month for Elias Lindholm. I do wonder if part of the thought process, if they go down this route, is Talkett has said that he thinks Elias Lindholm and Elias Pettersson are both best served at center. You're not going to move JT Miller from center considering the year he's had and him being their best forward. So if you're committed to three centers down the middle, you're essentially having Lindholm in your 3C spot with holes on your wings. So unless you think there's a scenario where Lindholm can get back to being a fit on Pettersson or Miller's wing, that would be the potential reason why you consider flipping Lindholm, because I'll be honest, watching him in Calgary, the tape from earlier this season, he's only been decent all year. Now, the reason we were hyping up the acquisition when the Canucks made the trade is because, at least for me, I was thinking, well, he's got subpar line mates for being a player in a top six position. And if he comes to Vancouver, you shift him to the wing. Now he's got an elite playmaker to play with if he's on Pettersson or Miller's wing. Now all Elias Lindholm has to do is be a trigger man for you. But the whole sort of way this works, the logic behind it is he has to fit with Pettersson or Miller. So that would be the debate the Canucks have to go through right now internally is, do they think Elias Lindholm can get back to the type of form, something closer resembling what he did with Calgary when he was on a line with Tkachuk and Gaudreau?
And look, you just keep coming back to it. The whole point of the Elias Lindholm trade was to find a winger for Elias Pettersson. Like, it was to find a winger for Elias Pettersson. Has not worked out to this point. We had this tweet from Jeff Patterson talking about Elias Lindholm's timeline a little bit here. A summary of Elias Lindholm's month with the Canucks. 2 goals in his debut. Wing with Elias Pettersson, center with Elias Pettersson, power play 1, power play 2, a game with Miller and Besser, the center of his own line, playing with AHL call-ups, good on faceoffs, plenty of penalty kill time, and now floated as a piece on the way out the door to Boston. This one from Nar in the YouTube live chat. I love this comment. Nobody told Lindholm he was on a PTO.
Well, it is like, wild, right? Like,
yeah.
How many general managers... Again, this is all potentially, right? We don't know for sure if this is going to happen. But how many general managers would even go down the thought process of considering this?
Not many. It's the same as the Pettersson negotiations, man. It's the exact same as the Pettersson negotiations. Like, how many general managers would consider, you know, going up to your star prize possession and be like, hey, we're going to have to trade you if you don't sign. And like, in the middle of the season. So look, don't make me pull up the tweet again of Rutherford in his wheelbarrow. Don't make me bring it up again, man. Don't make me do it again. But Look, it's just, it's crazy to think about that we're kind of at this stage where this is even a conversation that we're having. And Jeff Patterson is going to join us in a matter of moments, and I'm really curious to get his thoughts on all this. We'll touch back on this and anyone else, but quickly, we got to preview tonight's game. It won't be too long because it's Canucks versus Kings. And look, we all know the storyline heading into tonight. The Canucks are going to be looking for redemption after the Kings. Well, I don't want to use the word embarrassed, but after the Kings beat them on their home ice at Rogers Arena, Thatcher Demko gets the start and goal. Carson Soucy returns to the lineup. The Canucks have a very, very good record with Carson Soucy. He's been injured twice this year, but the Canucks are hoping that he's an impact difference maker starting with tonight's game. Tyler Myers, not available. He's going to be week to week with an injury. Harmon, you were at the skate. What did you see? What did you see today?
It was an optional skate, so no Pettersson, no Hughes, no Garland, I believe, but still a fair number of participants. I imagine based off yesterday's practice that Soucy will likely play with Ian Cole, and I do think it's the right time for Soucy to come back. I mean, this blue line, especially now with Myers out, and more importantly, even in the Anaheim game, I thought Cole's play was a little bit concerning. It feels like early in the season, he was so calm and poised with the puck. I remember watching him in training camp and thinking to myself, he's just smart. Like, he's not quick, but when he's under duress, he just makes the right decision. And I think the longer the season has gone on, you've started to see a little bit more mishaps with the puck, situations where he's turning it over. And remember, early in the season, when Soucy was out, when Zadorov wasn't here, Cole was sort of the rock of the bottom four. His play has really taken a downward trend, and especially now that Myers is missing, who I thought since the All-Star break has been playing some pretty good hockey. They could really use Soucy. And the one thing to keep in mind with him too is the potential PK impact. Through 21 games and 37 PK minutes, Canucks have surrendered only 2 goals against with Soucy the entire season, and they've scored 1 offensively. So that's an area where when you look at the PK as well since the All-Star break, that's perhaps taken a bit of a downward slope as well. And looking forward to see what type of impact he can have there.
We're going to continue breaking down this game with our man, Jeff Patterson, who's going to join us in a matter of minutes. But first, it's time for our Light the Lamp contest brought to you by our friends at Four Winds Brewing. Vancouver is playing LA tonight, and we want to know who's going to score the first goal for Vancouver. If you nail it, you could win a $25 gift card to the Four Winds Tap Room located at 72nd and River Road in Delta. Enter by following us on social media. Keep an eye out for today's show clip and comment who you think will light the lamp and score the first goal tonight. Winners will be contacted directly. Check us out at Canucks Army, at Canucks Combo on Twitter, at CanucksArmy.com on Instagram, and Canucks Army on Facebook. And make sure you ask about Four Winds Light Lager at your local liquor store or have some delivered to your front door through the online shop at fourwindsbrewing.ca. All right, he's not on the road this time. Would have been a great day for a watch party because he would have been able to be there. Jeff Patterson joins us now. We've got a lot of Canucks questions. We've got a lot of Elias Lindholm questions. We've got and this is the thing, Jeff, I don't know how long you've been here, but I think I didn't even mention that part of that tweet from CJ was that the Canucks are trying to get Jake Guentzel. And there was another tweet, I think moments ago, from Darren Dreger that the Penguins would like to get a Jake Guentzel trade done by tomorrow evening. JPAT, I'm sure you've seen the tweet. Just your thoughts on everything that's kind of going down right now on this Tuesday afternoon.
Well, it's getting spicy. And look, this is why we love this in this business. This is why fans love this time of year as well. And it's been too long since the Canucks have been in a position to really be buyers to, you know, take a legitimate run at something. So absolutely edge of the seat kind of stuff. Now, I've seen others, so this isn't necessarily an original thought, but like if we play out this Lindholm rumor sort of, and if in fact the Canucks peddle him, it does lend some credence to this notion that maybe he was picked up as insurance if this organization didn't have certainty that it was going to be able to maintain or retain Elias Pettersson. Now that they've got Pettersson signed for 8 years, not that they don't need Lindholm because they need depth certainly through the lineup, but maybe that does free them up. I also think he just hasn't been a fit, and sometimes that's the case. And if you have the luxury of righting a wrong before the trade deadline and can flip him into something, now you know, Boston's not just going to take him off the Canucks' hands. They already have a Lindholm, and they're getting they're cornering the market on Lindholms, perhaps. But you know, they're not doing the Canucks a favor here. So you'd need to see ultimately what the price to acquire Jake Guentzel is. But it does sound from all the insiders now like the Canucks remain in this. Is it going to turn into, you know, just this incredible arms race? Vegas is falling off the map here. If Los Angeles beats the Canucks tonight, guys, the Kings pass the Golden Knights in the standings. And knowing what we know about the Vegas Golden Knights in their brief time in the National Hockey League, they're just not going to sit by idly and flush a season. Like, I don't believe that. They got Eichel back. I think they're going to get Mark Stone back at some point in the playoffs if they get there. So Vegas is interesting. Edmonton hasn't made its move yet. There are other teams, obviously, that would have some interest there. So, you know, how far can the Canucks go, I suppose, is the question. I know that's getting kicked around, whether it's Podkolzin, is this a showcase, Hoglander having the season that he's having, and then the players that aren't in the NHL. So many moving parts. Again, it's hard to separate fact from fiction right now, but the fact that the Canucks are front and center in some of these reports from insiders is... it's intoxicating to me because it just means that they are likely to pounce and make a significant move here to make an already good team that much better ahead of the deadline.
With Lindholm, how difficult do you think it is to evaluate that, yes, the fit hasn't been there to this point, but also he's only had a month to try and integrate himself. He hasn't had many practices because the team's spent a decent chunk of time on the road. He's kind of flip-flopped over, you know, all parts of the lineup. How do you weigh those two factors in trying to understand, if you're the Canucks, whether Lindholm can end up being a fit down the stretch and into playoffs?
Right. And that's like, those are all important facts. Like, think about it. The guy was in Cabo for a vacation. He learns of the trade at 30,000 feet, heads home to Calgary, packs a bag, goes to Toronto, and then has to join this new team out of the road for 8 of his first 10 out of the road. Team hasn't been playing particularly well. You know, not that that's all his fault. You would like to have seen him contribute a little bit more, but that's a massive thing for a new guy coming to a new team. Like, systems are different, even if you're a veteran. And the fact that the Canucks had played, I mean, those 10 games in 17 nights, almost no practice time whatsoever. So if he makes it through the deadline and he's still with the Canucks, I think that 9-game homestand in the month of March would just allow a guy like that to exhale, to get some downtime, to settle in. Now, he may not be here more than 24 hours. Who knows how this is ultimately going to play out? But I do think that you're right, Harm, to recognize those factors. I think everybody wanted to believe that Elias and Elias were going to form this chemistry right away. That didn't happen. And I don't want to say the Canucks panic, but, you know, they tried each of them at center. Nothing really happened there. Then they moved him off that line, gave him a chance to play with JT Miller briefly. Then they felt that, no, he's a center. We're going to give him his own line. And, you know, it's my understanding that he's trying to be a good teammate, but at the same time, he's had some questions about, like, what exactly are they doing with me here, to the point that, you know, you're trying to get him going. Arshdeep Bains played on his line for a couple of games, Podkolzin the other night. So now you got two guys that weren't even on the roster when he arrived here. Like, that's got to, like, without a doubt, that's got to play on a guy's mind as he's trying to find his own game. And it's just been nothing but moving parts here. So I do cut him some slack, certainly. I expected a little bit more. He's been good in the faceoff circle. Been all right as a penalty killer. He gives them that right shot faceoff option, obviously. But they paid a big price. And if he's just going to be a third line center, you know, I don't care who the player is. If you just told me the Canucks are going to part with a first rounder and others to get a third line center, I think they paid a pretty steep price to the Calgary Flames to make that happen. So again, we're going to have to wait here to see these next couple of days. If he gets through the deadline, he's still a Canuck. Ultimately, where does he slot in best? Some of it's on him to up his game. And I think a game like tonight's a big test for not just Elias Lindholm, but Elias Pettersson and Pia Suter and some of these guys that, you know, don't necessarily have the engines always revving against the Los Angeles. We saw what the Kings did to the Canucks here in Vancouver last week, and there has to be some sort of response. I don't even care that much if the Canucks win the hockey game. I just need to see them look like they give a damn and compete, because they're going to see the Kings two more times before the end of the year. There's a pretty good chance they could see them in the playoffs as well. And their first run-in with Los Angeles was forgettable. I think everybody, and it has to be a team effort, but I want to see particularly some of these guys, can they dig in a little bit more than they did at Rogers Arena last week?
They're going to have Carson Soucy in the lineup. How big was Soucy to this team when he was playing, and what do you expect to see from him tonight? And, you know, knock on wood, as the weeks progress here.
Yeah, I had a good chat with him on Saturday. They practiced here in Vancouver and then flew, and I watched his interview with Kate Pedersen after the morning skate this morning. You know, he's trying to keep it pretty level-headed. He's a veteran guy. He knows that he's missed so much time this year. He's played 21 of the 62 games that the Canucks, or 63 games that the Canucks have played. So when everybody around him has played 60-plus games and you're constantly trying to get back in the lineup and find the speed of the National Hockey League and now the intensity of these divisional games, you know, I think he's just going to try to, I don't want to say ease his way in because I don't think he can do that in the National Hockey League, but, you know, they're not looking for him to be a star, right? Like, that's not who he is. He's a complimentary piece who has been a nice addition to the hockey club. Again, I tweeted out their record with him. I mean, that's a dangerous game to play because it's not an individual sport, but it is undeniable when the team has one outright loss in the last 19 games that he's been a part of. He helps them without a doubt. And, you know, he got back in the lineup in New Jersey at the start of that. Well, the start was in St. Louis, but he came back for the second game of that 7-game road trip, and there was no looking back then. But remember, when he got in the lineup the night in Jersey, Nikita Zadorov came out, and then they load-managed Ian Cole a little bit later on that trip. So, you know, he's only played 8 games since the night in New Jersey and the injury against Toronto, and there were 2 instances where they didn't have their top 6 defensemen. So we really haven't seen the Vancouver Canucks with what they would consider their top 6 D very often. And now that Tyler Myers is out of the lineup, it's going to be a while still here. But the one thing that I always like watching with Carson Soucy on the penalty kill, how disruptive he is at his own blue line. Like, he's got reach. I don't know if he surprises some guys because he's not Tyler Myers tall, but he's still a big, tall guy. But he's got an active stick, and he forces players to do things they don't want to do with the puck. And I think that's the sign of a good defenseman and a good penalty killer. And he seems to have that art mastered. So, you know, it is a subtle thing within the game. But if you're watching and the Canucks are taking penalties, keep an eye on Carson Soucy, because I think he does some of his best penalty killing work at the defensive line, just sort of taking a stand and forcing some players into decisions that they would rather not make.
What'd you make of Pod Colson's season debut against the Ducks? And are you, I know it's only one game, but are you optimistic that he can perhaps make a bit of a difference, even if it is just as a depth piece?
Yeah, look, I have to think that the timing of this is interesting in the week of the trade deadline, if this is some sort of showcase. And if that's the case, if that's the price, you know, I don't think he's ever going to be the 10th overall pick the way that they had hoped on that draft day of 2019. When you look at a player like Matthew Boldy or Cole Caulfield that has already done terrific things in the National Hockey League, I don't think he's ever going to be at that level. If that's the price they have to pay to make some sort of significant deal, so be it. But based on what I saw the other night, I just thought he looked comfortable, and I thought he looked pretty confident, and he should. You know, that wasn't his NHL debut where Archie Baines was, you know, getting a taste of the NHL for the first time. This guy has played in the NHL. He scored in the NHL. That rookie season essentially had a full run in the National Hockey League. But I thought he was able to play his game from the hash marks down. I thought he did a lot of good things, controlling the puck, you know, using his size to shield defenders and those types of things. I thought he looked at home with Garland and Lindholm. In the first period, the middle of a line change, but on a bit of a rush there and laid the puck off to Besser for a pretty decent scoring chance. I thought, you know, there was a good defensive play in his own zone to break up some Duck possession, and he didn't panic with the puck once he had it, was able to transition and move it the other way. The one thing I'd like to see is him a little bit more of the wrecking ball. I think this team stands to, you know, see an uptick in physical play, and I wrote about the fourth line at Canucks Army here in my weekly column. And I do think that there's still an opportunity for them to change some of the pieces there and maybe give it a different look. Rick Tocchet certainly seems to want more of an identity from the guys that they've got. And yeah, I think Sam Lafferty has a role, but I think he's got to get back to doing what he did in the first part of the season. Teddy Bluger's likely to be there unless they move him back to the third line with Joshua and Garland when Joshua gets back in there. But you know, the fact that they've taken Lafferty out of the lineup, DiGiuseppe's been a healthy scratch, Nils Amon now, that hasn't seemed to produce much of a spark in any of those guys, and they should all be playing for their lives if they want to be part of this team now, down the stretch, into the playoffs. And I would think a game like tonight, you know, it stands to reason that they're going to have to be physical. And so I know it's just his second game of the season, but that's an area I'd like to see a little bit more from Pod Colson is, you know, be the wrecking ball, get in and be an initiator. Don't just battle for pucks, like leave your mark on guys and let them know when you're out there on the ice. And I think he's got it. He's got pro size. And so I'll, you know, it wasn't an overly physical game the other night. I think this one will have a little bit more of an edge. And it was his first game at this level in a while. So, certainly a passing grade. But if that's the jumping on point for him, now I want to see him elevate if he gets chances to play against LA and Vegas. And, you know, we'll see what happens beyond the trade deadline.
Jeff, this is our last chance to talk to you before that trade deadline that you just referenced on Friday. I'm going to ask you your parting thoughts. What do the Canucks get at this deadline? I'm convinced it's two wingers. I'm guessing a bottom six winger and a top six winger. That's what I don't think they're getting any defense. I don't think they're getting any defensive help. That's my final take up to the deadline. I want to hear yours.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've got bottom six help on my wish list, and I do think that there is some need, and certainly names have been floated out there on this show and lots of other places, but this smoke today really makes me think that the Vancouver Canucks have something up their sleeve to go big game hunting. And I wasn't sure that they were going to be able to pull it off, but they've got some creative minds, and we've seen a willingness certainly throughout this season and really dating back to last summer to make some trades when trades weren't happening. Now trades are going to happen at the deadline, and I would think that the Canucks don't want to miss out on that fun. Now, you know, they are hampered by a cap like every team is, and so they don't have a ton of wriggle room. You know, it's fine to have a wish list going into a trade deadline. I don't know that you're always going to be able to accomplish everything that you want. So, you know, they would have a better sense on Tyler Myers' injury and the timeline there. They'd have a better sense on Dakota Joshua. Those are important pieces of information. You know, Joshua has been skating a little bit, didn't practice on the weekend, but I have to think that, you know, he'll be back at some point on the homestand. It certainly sounds like Myers, you know, isn't out for the remainder of the season. So, I would think that they would love to have a look at their top six healthy together. And I think they maybe believe in that, you know, top two, obviously, and then the rest of the defense by committee. Is that the answer? I would think some people would say you can't go in a long playoff run with, you know, a bottom four like that, that, you know, it's, you've got a top two and then basically you have a bunch of sort of four fives, but, I'm kind of with you, Dave. I think the more that I look, I think they have to, especially the way that Pettersson's gone of late here, they need a little bit of help up front and to get him a legitimate scoring winger. If Jake Guentzel, twice a 40-goal scorer, a guy with all sorts of playoff pedigree as well, that would check a lot of boxes for the Vancouver Canucks. So let's see if they can get it done. Again, it's going to be a fun run-up to the trade deadline on Friday.
Jeff, good stuff as always. Oh, you had something. Go ahead.
Yeah, Mark. No, I just wanted to quickly follow up. If the Canucks go big game hunting, one of the pieces that they're presumably going to be asked about is Nils Höglander, considering he's already having success. He's really cheap. From your perspective, how reluctant should Vancouver be about the possibility of peddling Höglander as a chip for like a true top line type difference maker?
Yeah, I think they have to be, Harm. You know, a guy at his age, just turned 23, locked up next year, barely a bump above league minimum. And now you got 19 goals with 19 games to go. Like, he could be a 25 goal scorer without a sniff of a power play goal, or maybe he does throw a power play goal in there for good measure somewhere along the line. Tockett praised him not only for his hustle and his determination and the goal the other night, but he was quick to point out he liked his defensive play. And, you know, we haven't heard that a lot from Rick Tockett or any of the head coaches that Nils Höglander has played for in his time in the NHL. And I just think he's continuing to round out his game. There's some chemistry there, a friendship with Elias Pettersson. And as much as other teams certainly would ask about that player, I think there is just enough in their cupboards to put together a package to make some of these deals without parting with Nils Höglander. I think if you're trading Nils Höglander at this point, and I don't like to believe that there are a lot of untouchables, but boy, that one, that's a guy that I would put on a list of players that I wouldn't want to move if there were ways around that to complete a big trade, but maintain a player that's helping you now. And I think, would be an asset down the stretch and into the playoffs. And then obviously at his price point for next year. So put me in the group that doesn't want to see them part with Nils Höglander.
I love it. I'm also in that group, Jeff. Who's on Rinkwide with you tonight?
Got Irfan Gafar, and we'll be in the Rinkwide studio post-game. I'm really looking forward to this, as I said. I won't go deep again, but I do think that there's an element of response required from the Vancouver Canucks. And I'm not talking about dropping the gloves and fighting. I'm just saying show up and compete, because they didn't do that against the Kings on home ice last week.
Good stuff, Jeff. It's going to be a great game, and people can check it out on Rinkwide Vancouver after the game. Thanks for doing this, Jeff.
You bet, guys. Thanks.
That was Jeff Patterson, and he was brought to you by Greta, the home of our electric watch parties. Greta is our spot to chill pregame, postgame, and all through the offseason as well. Check out Greta Bar YVR today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Okay, Harm, a couple things. And I guess most of them are for anyone else. But so let's get to Under the Hood, because you've prepared something for us and I'm very excited to hear it. So let's get to Under the Hood, brought to you by Mr. Lube.
Yeah, so on Sunday against Anaheim, now, obvious caveat in the sense that the Ducks were missing three of their top offensive pieces in Zegras, Carlson, and McTavish, and they were playing the third game in four nights. But that was Vancouver's best defensive performance of the season, according to Natural Stat Trick's expected goal models. And just watching the Canucks play, one thing that, again, just really clicked for me is that when the Canucks defend well and don't give up a lot of shots and chances, it really does start with the forwards picking up the slack with how many pucks they recover in the offensive zone, with how many turnovers they force the opposing defenseman to make. And that matters a lot when we have this discussion of the Canucks going into the playoffs with a defense by committee, that you have this super top pair with Hughes and Hronek, but after that, it is a collection of number four or five defensemen. And can you win that way? To me, the onus comes down to the forwards picking up the slack with their two-way details, because that, as we saw against Anaheim, can make life so much easier for the defensemen. Because in that Anaheim game, yeah, they didn't give up a lot, but it's not because in zone when they were hemmed in, they were breaking up a lot of plays. It's because they literally just spent the entire game in the offensive zone. So that's something that I'm going to be watching against the Kings as well. Is they struggled on Thursday to get the forecheck established to win a lot of those battles. Can you fix that part of your game? Because that'll not only help you offensively against LA, but defensively as well.
Four games to go against those Kings, and we'll see if they can make those defensive adjustments tonight. That was Under the Hood, brought to you by Mr. Lube, the pioneer of the no appointment warranty approved oil change, now providing appointment free tire service and sales. Find them at one of their 16 locations across the Lower Mainland. To find your nearest location, visit them online at MrLube.com.
It's now time for Anyone Else, presented by DoorDash. It's our listener's chance to get involved and hit us up in the YouTube live chat. And it's also our listener's chance to get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when they download the DoorDash app and enter code NATION25. Offer valid in Canada, subject to change. Terms apply. I should have remembered about DoorDash today. I had to walk over to Walgreens and pick up a beard trimmer because I forgot to pack one. One thing I'll say is, things are cheap in the States. Like, I picked up this, you know, little beard trimmer. I wanted to just get whatever was as cheap as possible. And it was like $20.
But it's US dollars, right?
Yes. So like, but
You're normally, obviously factoring that in, right?
I'm factoring the conversion. Yeah, don't worry. There was one on sale.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there was also one on sale that was like 14 US. Are you telling me converted that you're gonna find something for like 23 Canadian dollars a beard trimmer? I mean,
buddy,
maybe.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I've never even looked at a beard trimmer. Like, I don't know what beard trimmers go for. I'm the wrong audience for this.
Yeah, I just think currency conversion factored in. I still think things are cheaper in the US. I bought headphones off Amazon.com, my last Bluetooth pair, because they were cheaper, even with customs and all the extra delivery fees. It was cheaper to order it from .com than .ca.
Wow, that's okay. That's crazy. That's wild. All right. Anyways, Nick P in the chat, harm angling for a Manscaped sponsorship or something. We once had Manscaped on this show, but that was not a beard trimmer, I'll tell you that much. Okay, we got a few things that anyone else that I really wanted to get to in the chat earlier. Karin, his name's Karin, I figured it out, whose name now his handle is at Karonversation, Canucks Karonversation, because we always bring him up. He brought up that somebody yesterday in our chat threw out the idea of flipping Elias Lindholm, and he said that has to be Rutherford's burner. And it was so funny because PJ and I read it on air, and PJ was like, no, it's not going to happen. And like I said at the start of the show, I didn't think it was going to happen either. I'm like, no, you got to let him figure it out, blah, blah, blah. Then we get this report today, and he is in the chat. He's talking his crap, and I love it. Unplugged says, I knew it. I asked yesterday if Lindholm should be flipped, and Patrick Johnson said no. Unplugged, you better be in the chat tomorrow until PJ acknowledges you. PJ is going to be back for Harmon tomorrow. I'll make sure that we read that comment on air. You make sure you're in the chat tomorrow, Unplugged. This is good. Get your anyone else's in, folks. We've got a few here. We've got a new... Yeah, go on.
Just to quickly say, I mean, I would have probably said the same thing yesterday too, just because teams don't do that. How many times have you seen a high profile rental ad and a month later you're like, nah, I don't like this toy. I'm throwing it away.
Dude, I'm thinking about the fact that like Edmonton and Vegas, right? Those two teams that are, you know, they're in on Gensel. They're the front runners. They were probably like, all right, we missed out on Lindholm, but now the Canucks are done. Like the Canucks are out of the way. At least it's just between us. And then Jim Rutherford opens up his phone and he's like, no, actually, we're going to send Lindholm to Boston so he's away from all of you. And then we're also going to go get the next target you want. And who knows? And then they're going to flip Gensel for the next biggest target until all of them are away from Edmonton and Vegas. Just keep them out of Edmonton and Vegas. That's a hell of a strategy. Just weaken your playoff opponent's ability to do anything at the trade deadline by trading for all the guys. Yeah, this is wild. I honestly, like, again, obviously, we're in wait and see mode. I would still be surprised if this, you know, if we see, I don't even think it's a three-way trade. Like, I think it's going to be two different trades where the Canucks then use the prospects they had from the Boston trade. Like, you know, I saw JD Burke threw this out as well, like a Fabian Lysell. You go out and get him and you flip him to the Penguins for Gensel because the Penguins are looking for a certain, you know, probably a certain caliber of prospect that the Canucks don't have or just don't want to part with. You know, we've kind of heard Willander, Lekker Mäki, and Elias Pettersson 2.0. Both of those guys are kind of on the untouchables list for this management regime, and Podkolzin and Ratu just aren't that caliber that like a guy like Lysell probably is. So that's the thinking behind it. We had someone asking why they would even be doing this. That's why. It's so that they can go get the assets that they would need to go make a Jake Gensel trade. And I know it's crazy. You had Jim Benning for 11 years and Jim Benning still rewinding this show and rereading the tweets, trying to figure out what's going on. This is unbelievable. Like we're seeing a management. I don't want to call it a masterclass because it hasn't happened yet, but we're just seeing this, these ideas that you don't even throw out there because it doesn't happen. Like it doesn't happen often. And now we're seeing it. And hell, you definitely don't want to call it a masterclass because giving up assets for Elias Lindholm and then trading him for what you assume to be less and then going out and getting another rental isn't quite a masterclass, but it is respectable, I think, that this management regime is so willing to just say, yeah, you know what? This isn't working out the way we wanted it to, and we want our team to be better and best suited for the playoffs more than anything.
That's the other factor is I'd be interested if they do make this push for Gensel. It's obviously going to be expensive. Do you see the possibility of being able to re-sign him long-term? It's going to be tight. It's not going to be easy by any means, but if you were to, for instance, find a way to get off Mikheyev's contract and you decided, okay, we love Connor Garland, but we like Jake Gensel more because he's a true top-line difference maker, the combined impact of those two, of shedding those two contracts, you could probably fit them onto the books next season. Now, the challenge, of course, then is you also got to figure out how to construct a blue line and replenish your bottom six. But the point I'm trying to make is it's not like an immediate, there's no chance you'd be able to re-sign him. And I do wonder how much the contract aspect and can you control him beyond this season as a rental will affect how the Canucks feel about whether it's worth it to look to try and flip Lindholm elsewhere and then potentially pay a premium to bring Gensel in.
I also look at it this way, and I look at it through the lens of Boston. Like, Boston makes a lot of sense for Lindholm. Like, have you seen Boston center depth? They've got Pavel Zacha on the first line, and like, that's not a knock on Pavel Zacha, but how much more do you like Pavel Zacha if he's your second or third line center, right? Like, the Bruins don't have much, and again, they're winning, right? They're winning, but I even saw someone throw it out on Twitter today. They posted a picture of the Bruins lineup on Daily Faceoff, the line combination. They're like, how is this team winning anything? They've got, like, Jesper Boqvist in the 4C role. They just it's crazy. It's a band of misfits, and they come together, and somehow they're winning things, but Lindholm makes a ton of sense for them. I honestly, like, again, I don't think it's going to be a sign and we'll get him to an extension immediately, but if Lindholm does get traded to Boston, or hell, even if he hits free agency, I could 100% see Boston as one of the teams that's kind of in on him and would like to get him signed.
Yeah, I think a big reason Boston's been able to make it work anyway to this point is because Charlie Coyle has been pretty unbelievable. Like, he was the type of player I looked at and went, he's a good third line center. I don't like him above the lineup, but he's played at a legit top six caliber level, which is what's allowed Boston to maintain success. The one thing from Boston's perspective is they'd have to wonder too, is he not that Lindholm's washed, but is he a true 1C on a contending team?
Absolutely.
Because how much of an upgrade is Lindholm on Zacha and Coyle? Because Zacha and Coyle are not top line centermen, but is Elias Lindholm at this point, considering that it wasn't the best year for him in Calgary, considering he hasn't necessarily fit in Vancouver yet. So even from Boston's perspective, it would be a bit high risk, but there's no doubt that they really do need a true top line center, I think, to be bona fide cup contenders.
And hey, if you look at it from Boston's perspective, like, this is a good way to get an audition and see how he would fit before you go out and commit a bunch of money to him in free agency. So, like, obviously there's value in this for the Bruins too, if, of course, this gets done, and we don't know for sure that it will. So let's try not to spend much more time talking about it. But funny enough, that's all people are talking about in the YouTube live chat. So we don't have many anyone else's. We've got more about Gensel. Captain Canuck asked this. If the Canucks get Gensel, does that mean they'll be completely tapped out? Could they still get Greenway and some grit? I don't know about Jordan Greenway specifically, but like, going out and getting Jake Gensel doesn't mean you can't go get a bottom six forward that you really like.
Yeah, and I think the key would have to be, like, you can move some pieces around so long as you're willing to expose some of your depth players to waivers. Obviously, if you're bringing Gensel in, we're presuming that they're also sending Lindholm out, and the disparity in terms of the salary you're adding is just over $1 million. So you're still going to have some flexibility to make depth additions. I don't think you'd necessarily be tapped out. And here's the thing too, is there's just so much creativity in the NHL these days for how you can make salary work. Not that I think the Canucks would go down this route, but we've seen a number of teams double retain, and you bring a guy in at a quarter of his cap hit. So there are ways to get creative. I don't think you'd be tapped out if you're the Canucks, if you find a way to get Gensel.
All right. I wanted to bring this up. As the title suggests, Rogers Arena is getting cup holders. We saw that Rogers Arena is getting cup holders. They're getting all new seats, all new black seats, in the upper and lower bowl with cup holders. Harm, when's the last time you like sat at Rogers Arena?
It's for the Pittsburgh game. Actually, before that, It had been like 10 years.
Yeah, because I was going to say, like, I don't remember ever, like, I've heard complaints. I know people don't like the color of them, but, like, I don't really remember the seats having a problem with them. But, like, we sit there for morning skate, and I like the seats for morning skate. You think about that. Like, we sit there during morning skate. I like those seats.
I'll say that, yes, but also, I'm not going to lie, I watched morning skate from crypto.com arena, And boy, they got black leather, like cushiony seats, and they're really nice. Like I sat down and I was like, man, this is almost like sitting on a couch. So the Rogers Arena seats, I mean, they've been fine. But when you go around other rinks, especially this LA one, you're like, okay, there's a difference when it comes to these like really premium new seats.
I'm excited to check it out. I sat in the VIP seats, the new one, the Canucks app for a morning. Yeah, I went a couple rows lower than we usually do. And I sat in the black VIP seats, and those are awesome. I don't think those are going to be the ones that are coming in. I don't think it's that model of seat, because that would really diminish their VIP section if they made every seat like that in the building. But we are getting cup holders in the building. So we'll have to see what's in store there. $150 million arena upgrade. Is what that's all a part of. And obviously we saw the Jumbotron and all that sort of stuff. And this is another thing that I wanted to bring up in anyone else before we wrap up here. This is from Rick Tocchet yesterday. And I told you about this. I think you were there. Credit to the Canucks Twitter account. This is where we got this video. Gritty, let's hear Rick Tocchet talking about the Canucks trade deadline strategy. And then Ian McIntyre asks him about Sidney Crosby. Ian McIntyre read my mind.
Looking ahead outside of the games, trade deadline is Friday. I wonder how much you talk with Patrick and Jim at a point like this about what they're thinking and about your assessment of the needs.
Well, I think throughout the year, the communication is great. Patrick and I have a great relationship with communicate. So he knows what we're trying to do, and I know what he's trying to do. And about, you know, this time of year, you know, he'll bounce some ideas. You know, they talk about players all the time. I mean, that's their job. But, you know, most of the time, I just kind of worry about players in my room right now.
Can you get Sidney for you?
What's that?
Can you get Sidney?
Pittsburgh North. I don't want to tamper. No,
oh, that's a smart answer.
See the smile on his face, Harm? You see the smile on Rick Tocchet's face? Like, and he didn't want to tamper, not to make the second Jim Benning mention in the show today. He didn't want to get a tampering fine, but he did bring it up. And man, I don't know, man. I
won't read too much into it.
I want Sidney Crosby in Vancouver so badly, Harmon. I want it so badly. Like, get that guy out of Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's going absolutely nowhere. I get it. He's going to go down with the ship. He's arguably, in my opinion, definitely my generation, greatest captain in NHL history, for what I've seen, from at least the ones I've seen coached. And people are going to be like, oh, what about this guy from 1932? I don't know much about that guy. Okay, so my apologies if I offended anyone out there. But Sidney Crosby, in my opinion, is the greatest captain. Well, obviously, Wayne Gretzky's up there as well. But Sidney Crosby, I really like me some Sidney Crosby. So, yeah, I just want
to... Real hot take, you love Sidney Crosby.
I just want the guy in Vancouver, man. And Corey Anderson making a good point. He doesn't want to leave, Quads. That's a great point, Corey. But I like the point made by Gnar in the comment below where he said, manifest Crosby. That's
dude,
what I'm
if
doing.
It's it. If it's anywhere, it's got to be Colorado.
Yeah, that's like, what
it's
I was
a
coming
way
in
better
to say.
Fit.
Yeah,
why,
dude? He gets how to play with Nathan fit? McKinnon, his
Cole Harbour,
his buddy,
baby,
and he gets a slot true. In as a 2C.
But I don't cover the Avs,
and they need a center.
They do need a center, but I need Sidney Crosby in Vancouver. I think that's what you guys are misinterpreting. Is I don't care how he fits on the Canucks. I care that he'd be in Vancouver and I would get to cover Sidney Crosby in my career.
And he loves him some Rick Tocchet. And you know Rutherford and Alvin love them some Sidney Crosby.
That's right. That's right. UFA in 2 years, he's going to be 38 when he's a UFA. I assume that's probably going to be his last contract. But hey, maybe he takes a one-year deal and links it up in Vancouver.
You should start penning a letter to the Penguins organization and Sid. Be like, hey, I really want to cover you in Vancouver. So even though you want to stay in Pittsburgh, just reconsider.
Yeah, exactly. That's actually what I will do. I will do that. I'll write a letter. I actually might write it.
Can you please actually write like a mock letter?
Dear Fenway Sports Group.
Dear Fenway Sports Group, stop screwing up the Red Sox. Although I don't like the Red Sox. So anyways, okay.
I shouldn't have brought that up. We almost had no baseball.
Not getting into it. But Fenway Sports Group, they love them some Penguins. Anyways, okay, here we go.
I've got a baseball reference.
Oh, you do?
You're going to kill me. I was thinking about this. I think I actually dreamed about this last night. I'm not joking. I was looking at Nils Höglander's stats the other day, and I think he's got 19 goals and 8 assists. So I was thinking, oh, that's the old Cy Young stat line. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, my God. Like, that's a baseball reference.
Yes. Yes. I'm getting through to you, Harm. I'm getting through. I'm turning you into a vibes guy, and slowly but surely, I'm turning you into a baseball guy. Okay, Captain Canuck said, Quads manifested Lindholm. He can get us Sid, too. I don't know. Lindholm didn't really work out, so maybe you don't want me manifesting trades, but I think you do want me manifesting Sidney Crosby. And Nick P threw this out there. I reject your reality and substitute my own. Corey Anderson, forget your legacy, Sid. I want to cover you here in Vancouver. That's going to be one of the lines in my letter for sure. Yeah, he ain't leaving. He ain't leaving Pittsburgh. That's what it comes down to. But if he is, he's coming to Vancouver because that's where I want him to go. So anyways, news.
I wanted to read this question from Karan, or Conversation.
Karan. I learned it's Karan.
Yeah. Well, I'm so confused now. He says, even with a healthy Susie, do we think the decor needs adding, especially on the right side? And if this, say, this deal goes through with Pittsburgh, Harm, I'm wondering, and I know Drance supports this, would Chad Ruedel, now I know he's a depth guy, but they've had him in the past, Rutherford and Alvin, he's playoff tested. The acquisition cost isn't going to be much. So would that be the kind of depth move to make, you know, upgrade over Mark Freeman? Could you see that Chad Ruedel being part of that package?
Yeah, I've said before that with the blue line, I don't think you're going to find that true top four difference maker, especially now that Tanev's off the market. So really you're just looking for extra reinforcements, an upgrade on Friedman. And yeah, I have time for Ruedel. He hasn't necessarily had the best season this year, but he's been really effective in years past, and I absolutely think he's a clear upgrade on Friedman.
I just don't know if they're like, I really don't think they're going to trade for a defenseman. I just think when you look at what this team really needs, I just think they need wingers so much more than they need defensemen.
You can do both though. Like the acquisition cost to get depth, you're not looking more than what, like a fifth at the highest level.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Right. Yeah.
And you never can have enough defensemen going into a playoff round.
That's, and you know, very true.
If you really have to turn the keys over to Mark Friedman to step in, oof. And he's been fine, and no disrespect for him, but you know, you want to make sure you're going into a playoff series with the best roster possible.
Yep, that's absolutely fair. Harmon, any parting thoughts before we close out? Anyone else end the show?
No, I'm just excited to see, as J-Pat was saying, what type of response the Canucks have for LA. They also, the Kings just beat up on New Jersey 5-1 on Sunday, so they're going to be rolling. They're going to be feeling confident. And I think it's going to hopefully be a hell of a game. Hopefully not as boring as the last one, though. I'll say through the first two periods, I was like, man, LA Kings hockey is really boring. It's effective. Don't get me wrong. They play so fundamentally sound defensively. But from a game entertainment aspect, I really hope that there's a little more open ice and that the Canucks can dictate play, the style, the pace on their terms a little more.
And I want to see Podkolzin kind of roll over last games into this one, because, you know, he didn't have a shot on goal or any hits. And I know hits kind of, you know, arbitrary at times, but you think of the LA Kings and what they're about, like heavy forechecking team, you know, they suffocate the middle of the ice pretty much as good as any other team in the NHL. You know, if there ever was a team for Pods to go make an imprint on, it would be against the LA Kings. So I thought he was pretty good overall, even though he didn't have a shot on goal last game. But you actually noticed him, which is a lot more, which you can say a lot more than like Phil DiGiuseppe and even some of the other guys in the lineup, Ilya Mikheyev. But yeah, it's a good battle. And there was a stat in our YouTube live chat. The Canucks haven't beat a Western Conference playoff team, now that changes all the time, so it's a bit wonky, since December 19th, I want to say, which is pretty wild. So yeah, this is, and these next few games, like Harm, you talked about if you're Mr. Loop thing last week, like they got to get some goals against some of these top teams here. And I know they've beat the Floridas, Dallas's, New York's, but you know, if you really want to make some hay in the playoffs, you know, LA, Vegas, Colorado, you're going to clash with these teams sooner rather than later.
I forgot to even get my PLD hate in, but it's okay. I'll save it for another time. All right, we'll wrap it up there. For my,
they only play them two more times, right? They only play them two more times. So
two more times, and then the playoffs. Then the playoffs, hopefully. Yeah. And I'll really get to jump on the
number one PLD hater. Show.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, anyways, I'm not going to do it. But anyways, we'll close it up there for my co-host Harmon Dial and our technical producer, Grady Sass. My name is Dick Wajoli. Thank you so much for listening to an episode of The Canucks Conversation.
Canucks Conversation with Harmon and Quads brought to you by the Toyota BZ4X. The BZ4X's fresh look is just an added bonus to its range since you can drive up to 406 kilometers on a single charge. That's enough to get you from Kitsilano to Whistler or Kamloops to Kelowna and back and still be home in time for the game. Now that's what we'd call electric. The best part, by choosing electric, you can get up to $11,000 in rebates and incentives. The BZ4X are in stock and selling quickly, so make sure to visit shoptoyota.ca or your local Pacific Toyota dealer to get your hands on one. Canucks Conversation is live Monday through Friday, every weekday at 2 p.m. over on the Canucks Army YouTube channel. Make sure you like, subscribe, and interact in the YouTube live chat every day with us, folks.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
That's the sound of another sale on Shopify, in store. Shopify POS is everything you need to sell in person. From payments to inventory, Shopify unites your sales into one commerce platform. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/retail23. Shopify.com/retail23.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.